Welcome to the Closeted Soul Podcast. I'm your host, Shalee. This podcast is all about exploring the depths of your soul. We dive deep into spiritual concepts and tools that we can utilize in the physical world to really navigate life. So join me and so many others on this insane journey of self-discovery, and let's learn and grow in both the spiritual and physical world together. Welcome, Margaret, to the Closeted Soul Podcast. It's so exciting to have you here today.
So psyched to be here. So happy to be talking with you, as always.
Margaret and I actually graduated from Soul Teacher together, so that's where we met. So she's a fellow soul sister, and we finally finished the course. So we are on the other end of it, and we just thought that we'd sit here and just chat all things spiritual, everything that we learned. What's exciting about Margaret as well is that she also used to be a fellow atheist. So fellow atheist turned spiritual. So I'm excited to get into your story. So introduce yourself to the listeners, let them know who you are, what you do.
Cool. So I'm Margaret. I do a lot of different things. I am a manifesting generator, so you will hear me talk about 50 different ideas at all times. I originally started my first career working in the fashion industry and worked on the photo teams at Tory Burch and Victoria's Secret, then moved over to the food industry, was at Kava. I ran a retreat abroad in South America for a year for entrepreneurs. I've been doing consulting for female-owned startups for the last year and a half, basically strategy, marketing, business, anything under that realm. And about 3 years ago, really got into the spirituality realm through a friend who had an oracle card deck that she had handmade. And that really has been a draw for me consistently for 3 years now, is just loving oracle cards. And through that, sort of started following other people and eventually came across Nikki Novo, who is the teacher for Soul Teacher. And have just really gone deep down the rabbit hole since then through a lot of different workshops, teachers, retreats, anything you can find. I'm a total junkie. So, yeah. And I think I'm someone who also originally was studying to be a therapist. So I care a lot about mental health and think about that a lot. And really am interested in the intersection between mental health and spirituality.
Wow, that's so intense. I just love your soul. You're just literally such a, I was going to say clinical description, but that's not the word, but you are like the description of a manifesting generator. Like I totally relate to that, but you are just such a manifesting generator. You're just like onto the next thing, which I love. Mm-hmm. And I'm so drawn to that sort of energy because that's me as well. And often people don't understand. They're like, what? Like how?
I get that a lot.
It's in our makeup, right? It's in our makeup. So I ask all my guests on the Closeted Soul Podcast, when did you first come out of the spiritual closet?
So recently. So, you know, our soul teacher and cohort was a lot of people who I kept describing myself as like in the broom closet, because I was originally really studying under witchy world stuff and was quite embarrassed in so many ways. And especially because I was raised Jewish, but really identified as atheist, even from third grade onwards. I remember being in a Hebrew school class, and it was like the fifth class in a row where we were learning about different wars and different instances in which Jews were murdered. And I raised my hand and was like, so why are people religious? And the teacher was like, and I just, you know, early on felt really confused by this like whole world of religion where it was like, you're supposed to do this or you have to believe this. And when I found spirituality, it felt like my inner child had a playground and there was so much freedom in it. And it was a way to express myself in a totally new way. And so it's sort of where I think I identified as atheist almost out of a cynicism, and like sort of anger and resentment towards like the religious world and belief system. And then when I was given spirituality, where it's like, you know, there's so many different aspects to explore, it was so exciting to me. And so started to explore it, but very undercover. You know, I had one friend who had the oracle card deck that I really talked to about it, but otherwise literally no one. And then through finding community through Soul Teacher and some other workshops and events, it made me more comfortable when there's, you know, other people around you being like, yeah, I proudly, you know, step forward and this is who I am. And I'm like, oh crap. Like, yeah, me too. So I would say probably fully and honestly about a month ago, which has been a really exciting journey. And then realizing that it's also not as big a deal as you think it's going to be. Like it, I felt like, you know, everyone in my life was going to message me and be like, what? Like, who are you? But everyone was like, yeah, cool. Sounds on brand for you. You know, again, the manifesting generator thing. It's like, yeah, Margaret, onto another unique thing. I'm like, cool.
I relate so much to that story, and especially with the atheism. For me, it was like that as well. So much like you, I grew up Muslim in a Muslim household, but I was always given the opportunity to explore other religions. I was never really forced to do one thing. So growing up, I celebrated everything, and I really got to see the duality that was in religion and with different religions. And again, like you with the wars, right? I didn't understand why people would conform to something that is causing such a big division and so much hate between people. So I was like, you basically are all saying the same thing. I don't understand why this exists. I don't want to be a part of it. So it was really like a protest to really like announce that I was an atheist. And I was very much, it was a massive, I was an atheist activist. I would like post things online just to get a rise out of people because I just didn't understand it. And I just wanted people to know that I didn't conform. It was really, really just stupid because now I don't even go to that extent to even like get somebody to believe in spirituality or anything like that, because I too became attracted to this world because it was so free, because you could do whatever you wanted. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Totally. It's like, you know, I hear the word a lot in spirituality around like rewilding the soul or like the wild soul. And I'm like, yes, that's like where I'm at. This is like my inner magical child can run free with a magic wand and go to Hogwarts. And also there's so much freedom in like, you know, I might personally really prefer and specialize as an intuitive tool, oracle cards, while someone else is like really attracted to palm readings. And mm-hmm. and there's no judgment between like whatever your methodology is of dropping in. Like to me, it's all kind of, everyone has their own tool that allows them to drop in. And I heard this great thing recently that was like, whatever tool it is where it feels like you're cheating, that's probably the one that is for you, you know? And that was like, oh yeah, that's how I've always felt with the oracle cards. It's like, oh, I can't use that because it's cheating. Like I know immediately what's going on and can, you know, touch base with people. So
I love that.
I'm curious for you.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah. I loved it too. I thought it like super resonated with me. I'm curious for you with, you know, as a manifesting generator, how that sort of played a role within your spiritual growth. Because I think for me, it's been, again, a lot of like, oh, let me pick up this tool and let me pick up this tool and let me get like every single tool under my belt because maybe I want to do it all.
Oh my God. That was me. When I first started, I was like, wow, this is so interesting. And I just dived deep into this world. And I remember that I started off with meditating. Then I went into breath work and I was like, oh, I'll be a breath work facilitator. It changed my life. Right. And then I went on to the next thing. I studied Reiki and I was like, I'll do Reiki. Maybe that's my thing. And then I went on to the next thing. And then eventually I found Soul Teacher, and it was really funny because even our teacher, Nikki Novo, she said in the last class, she's like, yeah, you'll start off doing the clarity readings and then you'll get bored and go into the next thing. I was like, what? it's like a little frustrating because I'm like, come on, like just stick to one thing. What's going to be the consistent thing? But I guess spirituality isn't consistent. It's not linear. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Thing. It's very free, and you are free to do whatever you want. Whatever feels right to you is right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Doesn't feel right to me. If it doesn't resonate with me, doesn't mean that it doesn't, it shouldn't be any less relevant or important or relevant to you. I just said relevant twice, but you get the point.
I think it's really empowering that. So for me, you know, when I got the human design label, that was like a really empowering and validating moment. But really before that, it's actually been a huge insecurity in my life where I look at most people around me and they're very stable in certain ways that I've never quite been able to achieve or just hasn't naturally been a part of who I am. And it doesn't really make me happy. Like I like a lot of variety. You know, I'm an extrovert, I'm a Gemini, I'm an Enneagram type 4. Like I have like everything that kind of combines into just being like, I want to try different things all the time. I want to travel different places all the time, but I also simultaneously care about really deep connection and deep friendship, which is an interesting duality to hold of like really wanting both roots and, you know, freedom. And it's something I think about often.
Wow. So you also a Gemini.
Oh yeah. Oh, I got all the things.
You really do have all the things. Wow. Mm-hmm. So I guess you're here to do that then, right? You're here to just explore the duality and be okay and feel safe in that, and just trusting that wherever your kind of gut is leading you to, even if it's onto the next thing, that's exactly where you need to go.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting though, is like, we obviously all grew up in a society that has certain expectations. As someone who grew up in a pretty conservative area of America, it was very much like, you know, you graduate college, you get the job, you get married, you have kids, you have the white picket fence, blah, blah, like all the normal life path things that you hear about. And for me, it was like at age 24, I was getting paid to facilitate a retreat in South America. And my mom cried for an hour and was like, why can't you just like get married and settle down? And I was like, what? Wow. You know? And so it's so interesting to like have kind of these different expectations in place and then sort of sort throughout your 20s and experiences, like which things work for you and light you up. And it's definitely an ongoing process for me where I'm like, again, because it shifts so much for me, I'm like, this thing's lighting me up right now, but like maybe a month later, this thing will. And like, that can be really exciting and really frustrating to your point of like, well, I just want to know what it is. I want the one thing like other people have and just to be done with it.
So tell me then, how did you explore, like, how did you allow yourself to do that? Because especially having parents that are like crying, saying, what are you doing? You're not doing the right thing. Right. Like that would just really, mm-hmm. that for me, I was really, while I'm a manifesting generator, I still followed the structure of society, obviously led me down to a path of depression and anxiety. But it seems as though you really just let your soul kind of explore and you let yourself have experienced that and you followed what your soul was telling you to do, which is really powerful and something that not many people do. I think like half of the world is still following this like linear structured lifestyle because it's what they think they're supposed to do and they're fucking hating their lives. So how did you end up actually doing that?
I would have to say it's community, right? Like I might not have always had the family support to allow for that, but I've always had a really incredible friend group around me, even if that's shifted over time of who's in that. I've always had people around me who are like, yeah, cool. Like you're doing the next thing. And I'm like, that's okay. You're not going to judge me. And they're like, no, great. Like we support you. Go do that. And so just having that support system has been really powerful. And I also think, you know, I've had these beautiful markers in my life of opportunities that have just kind of in varying ways fallen into my lap that have given me that access and permission. So, you know, I lived in New York for a year and a half doing the fashion thing. And then when I realized that wasn't for me, because I really struggled with, as someone again, who's like very into one-on-ones and deep connection, like I personally really struggled to connect in that way in New York or find my people there. And then working in fashion wasn't what I thought it would be either. And so when I quit that job and moved to DC, I happened into, you know, great roommates who were really supportive. And then through literally a random application sent through Indeed as like an offhand thing, got this job that I thought was going to be a boring marketing job and actually turned out to be, because they sort of shifted what they needed, a food photographer for a huge restaurant group. And so I was traveling restaurant to restaurant, just taking photos of food.
That's awesome.
And running their marketing. And it was like, you know, that job allowed me so much freedom because I also worked remotely and I had a lot of hours. It was kind of more like I worked like 25 intense hours and then had a lot of off time, or time that wasn't like too heavily intensive. So I had a lot of like space for 2 years to just think about what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And that was what led me to this travel company where I ended up in South America running this retreat for a year and meeting all these entrepreneurs and interesting people. And that was like every single person who went on this trip, which is a company called Hacker Paradise that hosts these sort of retreats for remote workers, you know, were all like me. Everyone was kind of a little bit of a misfit to the normal path. And all of a sudden there was this community and like, wait, all of us have taken this like totally wild path. At the time, remote work was like pretty unheard of. And we were just like in it together. And so again, I think it's like that community aspect of falling into those spaces where people have just really supported me in being so exploratory.
That's awesome. I love that you mentioned community because it's so true. When you actually put yourself in community, that's when things shift. That's when things really change. And I think often when we're on this path as humans, we're made to think that like our life, we're in it alone. We're the only ones experiencing this thing. We're the only ones going through this thing. But then when you actually find your soul tribe of people who are going through what you're going through, or aligned to the things that you believe in, everything changes. All of a sudden, all of these possibilities become available to you. If we're going back to what you said earlier as well, with the soul teacher, you coming out of the actual spiritual closet, you saw all these women coming together saying, you know what, I speak to aliens and I you know, have conversations with my spirit guides. We do energy readings. And just seeing the confidence in them allowed you to step out, you know, as well in your spirituality and to do this work, which is so fucking powerful. And I experienced the same thing. I would never in a million years thought that I would ever come out online and say, hey, I do energy readings. I could give you a clarity reading. Hey, I could journey you up to the Akashic Records. Like I never, ever, ever would have thought that I would be that person. So it's just so crazy what community can actually do for you.
Oh, I so agree. And actually, now that you name that, I think one of the big things that this is so funny, but one of the big things that happened for me in pandemic that almost launched this journey a little bit deeper was TikTok becoming a thing. And I joined TikTok at the start of pandemic. They somehow, you know, as the algorithm does, nailed me immediately for being a broom closet witch and started feeding me content. And the community on TikTok around all of this stuff is just incredible. And I learned so much. And I saw all these people who were, again, standing in their power. And I think the real learning for me was also that I had always envisioned anyone in the spiritual world as being this, like, you know, woman in a flowy dress who has a very ethereal voice and speaks very slowly and everything is meditation. And I never resonated with that because I'm have a huge personality. I have ADD. I'm all over the place. I have a loud voice, you know, all these things that I was like, I can't be spiritual. Like, that's not me. And then it was like, oh, like, I can identify this way and still blast High School Musical that night, you know, or like still be out like twerking at the club with like my guy friends at 2 a.m, you know, whatever it is. Like, it was like, oh, I'm allowed to be a lot of different things. Like, I'm allowed to study clinical psychology and also be into tarot. Like, that's, you know, can exist at the same time, like the both and. So that's been a constant learning for me and something that was really, as we've been coming sort of a little bit out the other side of pandemic, or at least midway through, where there's been more access to social life. It's kind of like, oh yeah, like I can, you know, I had this year of, for me, pandemic was a lot of isolation. I lived on an island for 3 months alone and really did a lot of very deep work. And coming out of that very introverted state back into my extroverted self, who wants to like meet a ton of people and host like big events and whatever, and marrying those two together has been a really fascinating process, honestly, to observe in myself.
Oh my God. First of all, I love your story. You literally lived on an island for 3 months isolated. Like, what? That's so cool. But also, I love that you mentioned that it is one of those things that is so free. Like, you can, it can be whatever you want, because I totally relate to that. When I first had my spiritual awakening, I was looking online and I was thinking, I don't fit into this community. I still drink. I like to party as well. And I do all the things. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I don't fit totally in. And for a long time, I like hid that side of myself. I was like, I came off as this person that I wasn't. And I would also filter my swearing. I love to swear. Like, I'm just a swearer.
I love to swear too.
And I was like, you can't swear because like swear words hold a negative vibration. And I just, it didn't resonate. And that's how I was running the podcast. And I think that's why I got to this point where I'm like, wait, who am I showing up as? This isn't even me. Like, I'm not even this person. And it's so funny because doing those things, though, it doesn't make you any less spiritual. That's what I want to get. Like, me going out on the weekend, partying, drinking with my friends doesn't ruin my relationship to spirit, doesn't change how spiritual I am. So it's so, I love that you said that, because I think that's just such a powerful message.
Have you seen Mean Girls before?
I have. I love it.
Okay. So there's a scene, I do too. There's a scene in Mean Girls where they're breaking down the cafeteria. And I think this is what we grew up with, is like the jocks, you know, the nerds, the this, the that. And it was very kind of spread out. And so embodying, the older we get, this like huge complexity of like 80 different identities, and that being allowed and okay and having that permission is like, oh shit, like, you know, awesome. Because yeah. I totally agree. I think I had a lot of judgment about how I'm supposed to show up. And instead, I think what the way I'm trying to view, or not I'm trying, the way I am embodying spirituality is really just like that it actually is an aid in helping me fully express myself. Like that it actually adds to all of those pieces, the cursing part of me and the partying part of me. Like it just, it's, you know, another piece. And there was a girl in our soul teacher class who at one point just used the phrase, I am sick of sick of not being able to fully express. And I just thought that was so beautiful. I was like, fuck yeah. You know what? Same. I'm sick of not being able to fully express, whether that's, you know, dressing up in a flowy dress and leading a meditation one day. And then the next day, you know, playing Zelda on my N64, like whatever it is, I just am ready for all the things and, showing up that way every day.
I love that. I feel as though I think like soul teacher got us all to this point of who the fuck are you and how are you going to show up? And I thought soul teacher, to be honest, was going to get me more, was going to make me more spiritual in the way that I thought a spiritual person should be. I genuinely thought that. And I was totally. Like, if I do this, I'll become this person. But if anything, it actually like got rid of all of these blocks because we go on this intense journey and we do all these healings and things like that. So we got all of these things out of me and all of these blocks out of me so I could then show up as this person that I truly am, right? The real me, the raw me who wants to express fully. So yeah, I totally, totally relate to that. If we go back to what you said about the inner child and spirituality kind of being like your playground, I love, 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 love that you said that. And I want to explore that further. What do you mean when you say that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first time I really felt that and realized that was when I started doing visualization meditation work. So more of like talking to my spirit guides or journeying. It was like this moment where I really almost connected with my like younger self because I'm someone who has really vivid dreams. I always have since I was a kid. I remember being in first grade and being confused why you couldn't like remember your dreams always, or why you couldn't like figure out you were dreaming while you were dreaming. It was like such a weird magical world to me. And I taught myself how to lucid dream at like a really young age and never really talked about it to anyone. Cause no one, that like wasn't a common topic that people were talking about in day-to-day life. It's like, oh, you know, do you lucid dream? Or like, what do you think of dreaming? And I often, you know, was a very imaginative kid, and it felt like it was, you know, you hear the word imagination and what comes to mind with that is like, it's made up, right? And so when I started doing this work and working in practice circles and with clients and talking to people and, you know, doing readings and people are telling me that like, you know, the stuff I'm seeing in my head is real. It was like, whoa, like, holy shit. And it kind of almost gave me more permission to go deeper into that. Let's call it like inner playground, and really explore. And I kind of believe in this idea of like creating a spiritual property for yourself, as I've kind of called it, like excavating your own little town. So it's like, you know, I have a, not just a place of nature that I go to when I'm meditating, but also like a whole village that I've been building. You know, I have a building I go into when I want to do healings on myself, and I have a particular guide that meets me there. I have a house that's, you know, on the beach in the water that I go to if I just need to like chill out and kind of relax and go into different rooms that represent different emotions. And all these different structures that I've slowly been building within this world as I've been working at it. So it's been, and the fact that there, you know, again, there is no limits. It can look like whatever you want. It can be whatever you want. It's just been a wild ride for, my inner child, just getting really to rip free and, embrace that part of myself too, which I think had been pretty, in some ways, restricted for many years. I didn't really let that part of myself out because there was nowhere for it to go, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't have any way to express it.
Yeah.
Or to like nurture that. So yeah, that's been super powerful. It really feels like there's this inner world that it can just be whatever I want. And in that, what's been really cool is I studied art in college and really fell away from it for years. And my art brain has been crazy active since I got back into this world. I am just, cause I'm seeing all these incredible things in my head. And so I'm like, well, now I need to somehow translate this into art, right? Like so that was kind of what led me to making this oracle deck, because it felt like this marriage of like art, therapy, you know, spirituality, like all the things that I really have been embodying and enjoying. So,
oh, what a beautiful way to kind of express everything that's going on in your head. And I love that. I didn't even know that you did that. You created that magical world in your head. I think that that is so beautiful and exactly right. You can take it as far as you want. It's your thing. So whatever you need, you go after. So I really, really love that. And I think it's interesting because when you come back to spirituality, it's funny that you actually go back to this thing called the inner child, right? And I believe that kids are so, so fucking spiritual. When you actually told me that story about lucid dreaming, I remembered this story that I heard. I think it was on the Balanced Blonde podcast, but basically somebody was telling the story of when they were younger, their grandma was very spiritual and they were about 4 years old. Their grandma was spiritual. And when they were four, the grandma would say, okay, now you're going to close your eyes and you're just going to astral project. You're just going to go visit your mum in your head. Like, and then the child just did it as if it was so natural and normal because it was told, it was like, she wasn't told that that wasn't possible. She wasn't told that that wasn't normal. So it just naturally happened. And it's just so crazy because kids are so, so, so spiritual. And spirituality is coming back to that inner child of yours, right? Of that child who's so innocent, that just wants to have fun, that wants to love life and enjoy life. And I think that that's so beautiful. So that's why I love that you really can allow your imagination to run like wild. And it's so powerful because also for myself, I feel like with my own personal journey, I wasn't able to really have a normal childhood. And I think a lot of people experience this if you go through trauma at a young age, but I wasn't allowed to really, I was allowed to, but I guess I had to grow up really fast and I had to see pretty dark things early on. So I feel like I kind of missed that side of myself and missed that side of my life. And now the more spiritual I get, the more I get to unlock that part of myself and actually have all those things that I didn't have.
I find so much of that so interesting. And, you know, obviously as someone who was going into the therapy world, also, you know, really come from a trauma-informed perspective and as with most, but dealt with a lot of dark stuff early as well. And I find it interesting how different people react to this. I don't know if you're familiar with the idea of archetypes, but there's kind of this idea that like everyone has an inner child archetype and there's different realms. There's like the orphan child, there's the magical child, there's the divine child, there's a few different ones. I personally identify with the magical child where it's like when that trauma and darkness was going on around me, like what happened for me was I went inside. Like it was almost not exactly a disassociation, but it was like I was in my own little magic world in my head and, you know, had a million stuffed animals I would play with and like really had a lot of like hiding in this idea of like play alone by myself. And I was kind of laughing hearing that story because the first time I took a class on astral projection, which had really called to me for a long time, but I was honestly quite scared of it because there's a lot of like misinformation out there that you're going to leave your body and a demon's going to take over. And there's all these terrifying stories on Reddit that are just like complete nonsense. But anyway, so I was terrified of it for a long time, took it with this wonderful woman, Wendy Mata, who runs Bruja Power Botanica. As soon as we got into the class and we were about, you know, 40 minutes in and we had done sort of our first mini projection, I was like, holy shit, I've been doing this my whole life. This is what that was. Like, oh my God. And so it was this great moment of realizing like, again, like sort of the power within and feeling really empowered of like, oh, this isn't like some new thing that I need to develop. I've been doing this forever. I just didn't have a name for it or understand what I was doing. And then getting a little bit more technique and skill to it was really fantastic. I mean, sometimes if I can't fall, I don't know if you have this at all, but these days, like if I can't fall asleep once in a while, I'll sometimes just like pop up to the Akashic Records or astral travel somewhere, you know, back into another memory and figure out, you know, is there something new for me to learn here or whatever it is. And so it's just such a deep self-reflection tool as well.
I absolutely do that now. It's really bad because now whenever I sit down for a meditation or I have like a moment with myself, I'm not even just in the moment. I'm like, ooh, I'll go to the Akashic Records or have my guides have anything to do. Do my guides have anything to tell me? So it's really, really funny. It's kind of,
have you had reading burnout at all? Like where you get too many readings?
Absolutely. Oh my God. Actually, I'm so glad that you mentioned that because it's actually gotten to that point for me now where I'm like, I don't actually want another reading. And I think like this is an empowering thing, I guess, for us to talk about. Yeah. Because like we started this, right? We've done the readings, and I offer the readings, don't get me wrong. Like, I can do the energy reading for you. But what I found is that some people stop relying on their own intuition and they start relying on somebody else's, right? And it gets really, I don't know, there's a fine line, okay? I think readings have their place. And if you're really, really stuck, to get that reading, that initial reading to get you on your path is great. But then to continue to go back to readings again and again and again, especially by different people, you're really, really not giving that power back to yourself. I don't know. Do you agree with that?
Oh, fully. So I have so many thoughts on this. So, you know, I think one of my mental health sort of struggles that I dealt with in my teens was an issue of codependency. Mm. And so I totally saw that dragon rear its head again when I got into the readings world, because, you know, I shifted from, you know, kind of managing my codependency issues in my early 20s. And then when I got into the readings world, it was like, wait, I can just ask someone else to basically solve all my problems, was what it felt like. Like, this person's going to like tell me everything. And then, and if I don't like it, I'll just go to another reader. And it was sort of this addictive process. And I also, the other funny thing about it is, like, it's such a magical experience. And it's almost like a high the first time you get like a reading that just hits home. It's like, holy crap. Like, wow. And you feel so seen, and it's so magical. And so there's a little bit of like, I can get that again too. And I totally think, I mean, I guess I felt like there was never going to be an end where I would be sick of readings, or there'd be any instance in which I wouldn't want them. But being in Soul Teacher, where we were doing practice circles, where there'd be like 16 women reading you, and you would get, you know, anywhere between 5 and 20 reads a week on, you know, whatever situation or your general messages, I really learned there was a point where I was like, I don't want another reading. Like, I'm good, because either I'm getting the same messages over and over again, or I start to get messages that don't resonate at all, like don't sit with me. And I'm like, okay, this is like, you know, and it's to say, I totally agree. The whole point of this world is to kind of, at least from my perspective, like really deepen the way that you sit inside yourself and your intuition. And so, you know, you're supposed to be relying on your own instead of getting codependent on all these other readers. And to a point that completely diminishes your own intuition, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there totally is a burnout, and it's something I have definitely thought about.
No, I completely agree with that. And I felt the same as well. And I would do the same. If I didn't like one answer, I'd go to the next. And I think I've seen people around me as well do that. And again, it's giving the power outside of yourself and giving it to someone else to actually guide you on your life. But the thing is, like, when we look at, I feel like the course was specifically designed that way for a reason, to also show you that, you know, it's not about relying on other people and what they want for you. So again, I feel like it's kind of done intentionally in a way. So you're kind of forced to be like, no, like, that's not what I want. Another thing that I actually noticed from the readings is that some people were getting really, really triggered by what was coming up. And I was like, why is that?
Totally.
Why was that happening? Yeah. But I realized that once that person was triggered, then they were like propelled to their path of purpose, or they were really like, they were kind of like, nah, that is not for me. I don't know where the fuck that came from. I'm not going to follow that. And then they do what they were supposed to do in the first place. So it's kind of like spirit intentionally did it that way for a reason, to actually get that person doing what they were supposed to do in the first place. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah, totally. And if I think about, you know, going back to the first clarity reading I ever had done, that was like a full hour sit down clarity reading. You know, when I think back on it, what I take away from it and the memories that I still have are the things that really stuck out and resonated with me of like, yeah, that is the direction I want to go, or that does feel right to me. And that, you know, sits right. And I certainly, there were a lot of girls in our group who constantly were triggered either by completely disagreeing with what someone said. You know, if you think you want to quit your job and someone's like, sorry to tell you, you're going to be at your job another 5 years. Like, that's pretty triggering to hear, especially in this vulnerable space, which I think is another thing to just name, is like, readings are really vulnerable. Like, I think, you know, I think hope is a really vulnerable emotion. And when people come to a reading, they're usually in some type of transition or looking for an answer. And so you're coming in with hope that you're going to get something out of it. So you're coming in this vulnerable space. And so if someone tells you something that is really not what you want to hear or is painful to hear, like, that's triggering as heck. And I've certainly seen a lot of women in our group have a hard time with that. And then to your point, it is so fascinating, because then you watch the way that even the quote unquote bad readings turn out, where it's like this woman kind of like stepping into her power and being like, you know what? Fuck this. I need to stop getting 18 different readings and just realize I already knew this is what I wanted to do. So fuck all these people who told me otherwise, and I'm going to do it. And you're like, damn, hell yeah. Like, get it.
Yes, I know. It's so, so, so empowering to see. It's actually funny. If we go back, like the reason I did Soul Teacher was because I got that initial reading with Nikki Novo. Now, Nikki's like intensely tapped in. She's like incredible with what she can do. And I remember when I got that reading from her, I was like, oh my God, it's so vulnerable, right? She just saw like my soul and she saw my deepest desires and my insecurities, my limitations, all of the things. But she really like, she paved out this timeline for me, right? And once she saw me like and my soul in its fullest expression, I was like, I'm going to trust what this woman is saying. So I actually started doing everything she said, like in this linear way that she told me to do it. But again, I was falling into old habits of like following societal expectation. That's kind of how I see it, right? If somebody's telling me how it's supposed to pan out and I'm following that. And while Nikki is incredible, and this is something she teaches as well, you cannot predict the future. Honestly, your future is changing in this, like in every single moment you make a decision, your future's changed. You cannot rely on somebody else's predictions for you. You can follow as much as you can to align to your soul path, but you have to allow the timeline to change and mold into where you're supposed to go, because that's something that I wasn't allowing to happen, because obviously there was so much growth during this period of soul teacher and my path has changed. And I just remember like my guides continued to come through saying like the path is changing, start going on to the next thing, like stop following what you think you're supposed to do, because again we fall into the same habits of actually following this structure, right? So I had to kind of let go of what Nikki said, and like all of the things she said were right, but just not in the timeline she predicted. They all happened so quickly, and I had to allow it to do that and to be that way.
Yeah, there's another girl in the class who we are both single, and like we often talk about how there's been kind of this consistent thing in readings of like, oh, your person's coming in 3 months, 3 months, 3 months, 5 months, whatever. And we're like, why does this keep happening? Like these timelines are just nuts. But yeah, I agree with you. It's like, you know, people can kind of lay out what your timeline looks like in the moment, but that can completely shift. And it is hard. I think there's this vulnerable piece too. There's this great author, Eric Vance, who wrote The Curious Science of Suggestible You, who has this beautiful deep dive that actually very strangely lends very well to spirituality about the placebo effect and where that kind of overlaps or doesn't overlap. And I think one of the things that's interesting in readings is like, because you're coming in this vulnerable and thus suggestible state, that when someone gives you a timeline, it's why I personally don't do anything predictive. It's really tough to not always have that in the back of your head. Like if, you know, they say to you, and this is someone you really trust, and the rest of the reading was spot on, and they say to you, you're going to meet your person 7 months from now on a beach. Like, even if you start dating someone else 2 months later, you're still going to have that in your head of like, well, but that person said the 7 month mark. And so, you know, maybe I need to pay attention to that and like not date this person or whatever. So it's just interesting how those things sit with you. And there is kind of this empowering piece of needing to be able to like know when to separate from a reading or not.
Yeah, no, that I love that you mentioned that, because it's true and that's what people do. Let's dive deeper into like how was it for you to be in that community of women being so vulnerable, because as you said, it's quite triggering, right? And especially if you think about the sister wound, like with women, think about like women in general over time, you know, being witches back in the day, throwing each other under the bus. There's always been this weird like tension between female relationships. So how did you go in actually doing this course? Because it's different from anything I've ever experienced. You were getting so deep and so vulnerable with so many different people that are obviously, you know, all over the world. So how did you go?
Cool. So I feel like I had a slightly different experience than a lot of the women, because I've done a lot of leading kind of therapeutic groups. I ran this group called DMC, Deep Meaningful Conversations, for several years that we kind of jokingly called like group therapy without the therapy. And, you know, ran that retreat abroad where we were also doing some deep personal work, and have worked with a lot of women in that context. So what was actually interesting to me is, like, I boiled down my purpose to the word belonging, because I think that was kind of my biggest trauma in my childhood, was this just, like, very, very deep sense of misfitness. And that has sort of manifested as being a huge community builder. So when I got into this group, actually, it was a group that I very naturally, I think because I sort of sensed that everyone was a little bit, like, uncertain or uncomfortable in some way, that uncomfortableness actually made me feel at home, where I was like, oh, these are my people. Like, they're the same as me, where they feel uncomfortable. So I, like, felt a sense of belonging in the group really quickly. And so it was actually so fascinating to me. You know, I led a discussion circle for this group of 30 women, and a lot of them came to the table just saying that their biggest struggle with the group was feeling triggered about sisterhood. And I was like, oh, you know, I feel so at home here. Like, can you go more into detail on that? And there was just a lot of feelings of, like, wow, I've never been in a group of women where I actually genuinely feel supported and seen, and just people who accept me for who I am, which is such a strange thing to have this vulnerable space that exists in this liminal online digital presence, right? Like, I'm talking to you and it's morning where you are and night where I am. And it's wild to have these, like, beautiful relationships with some, I mean, the biggest bummer is that all of us live so far apart, but, like, what a cool, special space to connect with people from all over the world and feel so close to them. So to me, it was more like, yeah, like, we all belong here because we don't belong, right? Like, that is what is making it, that is the commonality for all of us. And so I felt pretty supported quite quickly. And I think it was just such a beautiful thing for me, for in the first time in my life, being in a space where, you know, we're really going into what's happening in your head and what you're seeing in your head and through your third eye, and being able to name things and have a group of 15 women be like, yeah, that's correct. Like, that, it, that resonates with me. That's what I see, instead of hearing, you know, what I've heard from men a lot in my life, which is like, you're making that up in your head, mm-hmm. right? That's like a big trigger phrase for me. Mm-hmm. That it was like, holy shit. Like, I really feel like I'm allowed to be myself here. Mm-hmm. And again, have that permission to just fully express, because no one's going to tell me that, like, being myself is wrong or seeing things wrong somehow. So I found it quite powerful.
I so relate to what you said about the men saying you're making this up. That's actually something I kept getting, because I had this deep intuition, and I knew that I could feel things that I couldn't explain how I knew them, but I just knew. And people would say, no, it's just you're making that up. Like, that's not actually true. But I know that I knew that it was true. So yeah, it was really, really powerful being in this place where, or this space where, it's actually validated and you're supported in what you're actually feeling and your intuition. I love that you had that experience though, and I love that you felt a belonging very quickly. Like, personally, it wasn't like that for me in this community, and I think it's because of, like, this deep sister wound that I do have. For me, at the start, I remember actually being on the phone to my best friend, and I was like, look, I just don't get along with anyone in the group. No one's really, like, talking to me. I've tried. And then I was like, you know what? I think it's just, it is what it is. I'm not meant to be friends with these women. I'm just supposed to do the work and learn. And that's it. That's all it's going to be. And it was funny, because then a week later, I ended up, like, starting to talk to people and then really forming these beautiful relationships that now I just consider you guys like lifelong friends, really. So it's just, it's so funny how I had that polarity. But yeah, it was actually quite triggering for me, because I never really experienced a community like this before. And I guess it's kind of like I was expecting to be judged. I was just already assuming that I wasn't going to be liked, and really that's just a deep insecurity that I have within myself, and something that I felt about myself, I guess.
I find it so funny in the context of, you and I did a past life regression together, and as we got to my place of nature, both of us at the same time were like, were we best friends in a past life? I think we've already been friends for a long time, right? Like, we already knew each other. So I'm like, yeah, of course we get along, and like, you know, I find you so incredibly immediately charming and likable that I'm like, that's so interesting to me that was sitting there and that's what came up for you. Mm. And like the triggers that have gone off in this class, you know, one of the other big ones for me was this feeling of, and this was a really big learning for me, is like, having a teacher who is teaching you this like pretty vulnerable, intense stuff, it's like a lot of projections come up, right? Like mm-hmm. I was triggered by our teacher constantly where I was like, it's like my authority things coming out on her or my mother wound coming out on her. Like if I feel like she was like disappointed by me or I didn't do the thing right or whatever. And it's so funny to see how everyone's different things were, you know, coming out and kind of like being put on the table and all of us were having to cope with it together. And it was like, all right, who's triggered today? Like, who needs a therapy session?
I know, it was honestly like an ongoing joke in the group. Like, yep, triggered me.
raise your hand. Like,
no, I totally relate to that. No, it was so cool when we actually did that past life together. And yeah, it was like this instant sense of familiarity. That's not the right way to say it, is it?
I got it.
It was an awesome experience, and yeah, it's beautiful to have these connections now going forward. And we were just saying before we actually started recording that while Soul Teacher is over, I don't actually feel sad about it because I feel like I have these group of women for life now. You know what I mean? So it's so beautiful. Thank you so much for everything and this conversation. I think it's been so insightful and so beautiful to hear your perspective and how much you've grown on this journey. Where can people find you if they want to maybe buy your Oracle deck, work with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me. My website is just margaretlefton.com. My Instagram is at margaretlefton. And I do a lot of anyone who follows me, I do a free reading for. And you can find my website and all my booking information on there. The Oracle deck is in progress. We are very close to production. I am so excited. I'm working with an artist named Tarn Ellis, who is just an absolute gem. And that will hopefully be out by the end of the year. And yeah, please come find me, say hi, hang out. I'm, you know, a very open person and really happy to connect with anyone.
Oh, that's such a beautiful thing you do for your followers. You just give them a reading for being in your community. I think that's beautiful. Highly, highly recommend Margaret. She's incredibly intuitive and I'm actually really looking forward to that deck. I'm definitely going to get my hands on it because I just love your creativity and your mind. So I'm excited to see what you come up with there. thank you so much again, Margaret. It was honestly so lovely to have this chat. I hope that you have a lovely night. Have a good sleep. And yeah, just thank you again.
Just astral project our way into the dreams.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Awesome. Thank you for hanging out. This was great.
If you enjoyed today's episode and you feel inspired to rate and review the podcast in iTunes, it would mean the world to me. Also, if you are wanting to connect with me on a more intimate platform, you can find me on Instagram at closetedsoul. I would love to hear from you. Finally, you can learn a little bit more about me and this space just by visiting my website at www.closetedsoul.com.